I want to again thank you all. I want to thank the congregation for your attendance in the meeting, for being here to support us, for listening so well, for the awesome meals that have been provided. Youth leaders, for the tremendous work you have done with the young people and continue to do. I'm only sorry my wife and children couldn't be here. They certainly wanted to be. But it's been a very special week, and we appreciate that. We leave tomorrow morning very early, go right to school for some meetings and work, and Lord willing, we fly right back here on Friday to speak in the Medina meeting next weekend. So please come up and support us. I believe your pastor's preaching as well, so it would be awesome to see you all up there next weekend. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles again tonight, and we're going to turn back to Genesis chapter number 24. I want to again read some verses out of this chapter. We appreciate every one of you tonight. Many of you have traveled many miles to be here, and we really appreciate that. Genesis 24, beginning verse number 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the Lord, the God of heaven, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware, thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And then we want to go down to our scripture text down there at verse number 14. We want to use again tonight. And it says, and let it come to pass, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. Or the New International Version says, let her be the one you have chosen. Amen. Tonight again, we want to go on with the thought of choosing a companion that we began this morning. Someone may say, Brother Reggie, you painted such a serious and dark picture of marriage this morning, I don't ever want to get married. Well, I heard some grumbling from some. I see Brother Rodney, I'm glad he's here. I was worried he was going to skip out tonight. But some of you, I'm sure, were just kidding me, but I've heard this comment before when I've spoke along this line. And I just want to again express to you tonight that I'm giving you a real picture of marriage. You won't get this in a fairy tale book. You won't get this in the world. Amen. The world enters marriage very flippantly, and they always have in their mind, we'll just get out of it if we need to. There's always an option just to exit out. Amen. There was a time when you could go down to Mexico, I believe it was, and get a divorce, like a no-fault type divorce that could be done very speedily, very hurriedly, and with very little cost involved. Amen. I don't believe God would have us to enter marriage that way. We enter marriage with the mindset, this is for life. Amen. This companion of ours, amen, is a joint companionship with this individual that we marry to enjoy each other, to procreate, to be a blessing in the kingdom of God for life. Amen. And so I want to just put it out there as a realistic, in a realistic way to us tonight. You see, we must realize that the Church of God teaches preventative theology, just as it appears in God's Word, while the most of the religious world teaches remedial theology. In other words, you just do your own thing and God will patch up your life. God's got a perfect plan for every one of your lives. He's got a perfect plan. God doesn't work with plan A, B, C, D, behalf. Oh, yes, he can repair your life. But God has a perfect plan. Amen. And if you choose the perfect companion and you remain in the center of his will, as I said this morning, you never need to get divorced. You never need separate. Amen. You can go to your pillow every night and be in agreement. Amen. There may be times when you don't completely agree along an issue. You may decide to go to bed and just leave it. Amen. In other words, we're just going to put it aside and we're going to love each other. And we'll come back to that issue at a later date after we give it some thought and some prayer and some consideration. And that's okay. Amen. But I don't believe we should even go to pillow at night and fuss and fight and bickering. The Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. God's got a perfect plan. I like that song that you sing. God's got a perfect plan for my life. Matthew Henry, whom we know is writing a great commentary. Matthew Henry said this: no concern in life is of greater importance to ourselves, to others, or to the church of God than marriage. It therefore ought always to be undertaken with much care and prudence, especially with reference to the will of God and with prayer for his direction and blessing. Where good parents are not consulted and regarded, the blessing of God cannot be expected. Parents, in disposing of their children, should carefully consult the welfare of their souls and their furtherance in the way to heaven. Amen. Now, there are two burdens behind this message and why I feel impressed to go at length with it. But there are two main burdens, and one burden of mine can be expressed in a beautiful poem called The Bridge Builder. And this poem goes: an old man going a lone highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm or an abyss, vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. Now the old man crossed in the twilight dim, the sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at the evening tide?" The builder lifted his old gray head and said, "Good friend, in the path I have come, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been not to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him." If you were traveling on a long road together, which we are, if we were traveling a long road together, which we are, and I was a little ahead of you and had just crossed a chasm, which I have, I'm married, and didn't warn young people about the dangers, amen, and how to cross into marriage successfully, I wouldn't be much of a friend. And the second burden behind the message is, we often tell our young people, marry the right one. Be careful not to marry the wrong one. Amen. But we need to be fair and tell them how to find the right one. Parents, it's not enough to say, marry him, marry the saved companion. There's more to just being saved. As I'm getting to in the message, there are many things we should look for in a companion. Salvation's essential and the most important attribute. However, there's much more involved in a marriage. Amen. There are much more things involved. Personalities. Amen. Likes, dislikes. Amen. And God would have us to find that perfect match. Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." We need to know what God has to say on this very important subject. Next to getting saved again tonight, I tell us, finding the right companion is the most important union you can enter into. Now, we're speaking about choosing a companion. And one of the primary reasons for getting married is the innate desire for companionship. Every person, amen, with the exception of a very few in life who are like the Apostle Paul, have a desire for companionship. It's an innate desire that God has placed there. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis 2:18, amen, that we have this desire and that we should seek to marry that individual who has similar interests to ours. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Amen. And I want to say tonight again to parents and men out there, it is not good that you be alone. You need to be with your wife. At the end of a work day, you need to go home. Not out playing around with the boys, so to speak. When work's over, get home. Amen. And wives the same way. I don't believe Christian mothers have any business out there with women playing around. Amen. When you get married, you're married. That's the union. Amen. That union needs to be together. When you're not together, that gives the devil opportunity to work. And he works. When men aren't with their women, you see, even in the prisons, they understand the importance of conjugational rights. That's a big word meaning the necessity for a man and woman to be together. Amen. And that's an innate desire that God's placed there. You say you're getting too specific. No, the word of God's very specific. Read 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Amen. The Bible says you can separate a bit for prayer, fasting, so forth, but you come back together lest Satan tempt you. Amen. It's not good that men be alone. Man be alone. He said, I'll make him a helpmeet. Now that word helpmeet, amen, that means someone who's suitable. Someone that's just right for him. Amen. One translation says, someone that's fit or someone that's adapted, complementary for him. God has a person who is suitable, just right, fit, adapted, and complementary to you and your personality. Now God wants us to seek that individual. Amen. So let's look at it a little bit more tonight. This morning we hit 3 points in our text, our scripture reading out of Genesis 24 chapter. We want to go on with about 5 more tonight. First of all, we preached this morning. We got to look in the right place. Amen. We got to look. And we talked about the importance of looking in the church. Amen. Or at revivals, camp meetings. We preached in the number 2 point about marrying in the Lord. Amen. And then the third one was don't force the issue. Amen. Now we want to go on tonight. The next point we want to bring out in our text here tonight. Amen. The 4th point is pray much. Pray much. In other words, talk to God about it. Amen. At least 6 times in this chapter alone, we find where prayer, the avenue of prayer, was sought out. Amen. One person said this. It's better to pray one down than run one down. The Bible says women are supposed to be chaste. I remember Brother Wilson saying on an old tape, amen, that's C-H-A-S-T-E, not C-H-A-S-E-D. There's a difference. One speaks about being modest. The other one, you mean you run after. Amen, it's better to pray one down than run one down. Nothing small or great in the Christian's life should be entered into without much prayer. Certainly concerning a matter of this magnitude, much prayer must go forth. Now let's get a verse in this chapter that speaks about that. Genesis 24, let's just grab one verse, verse number 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. Amen, or the message with his companion was coming. Who it was going to be? The Amplified says this. And Isaac went out to meditate and bow down in prayer in the open country in the evening. And he looked up and saw that, behold, the camels were coming. Amen. Part of meditation is prayer. And we find where Isaac was meditating. Amen. Young people, don't be afraid to talk to God about it. Don't be afraid to pray. God, help me. I want to know. This is an important decision to me. Help me to know who. Amen. And I believe you should talk to your pastor about it. You should talk to your parents about it. Amen. The pastor knows his people better than anyone knows them. Amen. So when it comes to seeing companionship, you should talk to your pastor. Amen. Do you have any reservations about this one? Amen. And you pray and you ask God. Amen. And I want to say this. Just because it's the right one doesn't mean it's the right time to get married. And we'll talk about the age of marriage here in a few minutes here. But just listen to me. Just because something's good doesn't mean you should have it now. How many of you like dessert? Isn't it good? But how many of you were taught from little on up, it's going to spoil your supper? Now, just because dessert's good doesn't mean you should go eating it first. Amen. And this is much more serious, but when seeking a companion, just because it's God's will doesn't mean we should just go out and get one. Amen. God's got a time, a perfect time. So we should pray much. Amen. Look at the beautiful prayer prayed by Abraham's servant, Eleazar, or type of the Holy Spirit. Genesis 24:12. Listen to his prayer. Send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Cause me to meet, one rendering says, with good success today, and show kindness to my master Abraham. Isn't that beautiful? The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer. Amen. Certainly this is no exception to that rule. Now you may need to fast. Certainly it's an important decision. Prayer should be made before and during courtship. Remember the seriousness of this decision. The more serious the matter, the more prayer should be made. In Genesis 24 and verse number 15, we find that God heard that prayer. Genesis 24:15, because when the prayer was done, the Bible says in Genesis 24:15, it came to pass. Before he had done speaking, amen, that behold, Abraham came out. So we see God answered that prayer. Verse number 45 as well, we want to grab there. And before he had done speaking in mine heart or praying, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. Amen. Faith will bring results. There's no use praying if you don't believe God can answer your prayer. Amen. Let me just digress for a moment. Don't ever pray for sick unless you can believe God can heal. Now, that seems like a no-brainer, but I really believe there are a lot of people praying for sick that don't believe he can heal. That's dangerous. The Bible says the prayer of faith. If you don't believe in divine healing, don't go praying for people. Amen. We must believe. Amen. And it's more than that. The person you're praying for has got to believe too. But God's using you with a prayer. He's working through you. Amen. We must believe that God can heal. Now, God saw the servant's heart. He knew for what intent he had come, and he knew for what purpose he was praying. Look at what Isaac was doing in the evening. Look at what he was doing, we might say, during his free time, young people. Genesis 24:63, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. I believe a portion of every one of our evenings should be spent in a little bit of meditation. Turn off the electronics. Turn off the outside sources. Amen. And just talk to God a little. Young people, open your Bibles and just, you know, read a verse. And it's not so much how you read, but it's how much you get from what you read. You can read the whole book but not get a thing, and you've wasted your time. But you take even one verse, one sentence, and let that feed your soul, you've done a lot. Amen. And so I encourage you to do that, because when you do that, you begin to learn about the nature of God, and he talks to you. Amen. You become acquainted with him. He becomes acquainted with you. Now, look at the type of girl Isaac's prayer attracted. Now, think about this here. Many young brethren would pray, you know, for that perfect physique and that perfect model and that blonde hair, beautiful babe. You know what I'm talking about. But what does the Bible say? Genesis 24:16. When Isaac had finished praying, the Bible says the damsel, his prayer rather, attracted this. It was a damsel, which means it meant she was unmarried. She was young, was very fair or beautiful and attractive to look upon. She was a virgin, or she was chaste and modest. Neither had any man known her. She was unmarried. And she went down to the well, or she was saved and filled her pitcher, or she drank of the Spirit. Amen. She was saved. She was chaste. She was modest. She was unmarried. This is the type of companion we should pray for. Amen. Young women, young men, the same way. You should pray for an unmarried. Amen. Modest. Amen. And yes, they can be beautiful and attractive. Listen, God's not expecting you to marry someone who's ugly. Amen. You're going to be attracted physically. Amen. Now, I know, and I've watched, and I've learned some things over the years. I have three sisters, and I think, well, two of them. One of them, the oldest one, seemed like she knew what she wanted to do since I can remember, and so she was on track just to do that one thing. She, like, had her mind made up, I guess you could say. And she's just very assertive that way, and she's very active in the kingdom of God. It's not a bad thing, but she just knew what she wanted to do. Well, the other two, I remember dating, and they would date, or they would court, or whatever, you know, and most of that courting happened at our own home, where it was in view. All of it happened at, most of it anyways, some at church and revivals and whatever. But they would court, and I think both of them, they courted for a while, and then it was like they broke off, and they didn't want anything to do with them. And then pretty soon they decide, well, yeah, that is the one that God has for me. And they courted again, got married. And the point I'm making here is that God has a way of making an individual attractive to you. You may see someone and say, there's no way in the world if we were the last two on the planet that we'd ever marry. But you be careful what you're saying, because one of these days you might look over and say, my, how they've changed so much. My, how, where on earth did they get that beautiful smile? They look so different now. Amen, and God will attract you to them. Amen, it's beautiful. Marriage is beautiful. Amen, young brethren, I wonder this morning, or tonight, are you praying for this kind of a girl? How about you young ladies, someone that's pure, innocent, modest, and most of all, who's saved? Amen, God's not asking you to marry someone that you're not attracted to. Certainly that's important. However, it's those intrinsic characteristics that we preached about last night that should stand out to us. Are they kind? Are they compassionate? Do they love children? Are they obedient to their parents, to the pastor? Are they faithful to the house of God? It's those things that should really stand out. Are they pure? Amen. Purity, it seems today, is being lost among so many. God still values purity of body and mind. Amen. Keep yourselves for your companion. Amen. Now, I believe you should pray for those who have kept their bodies clean. One who hasn't been with another man or woman. They haven't cohabited. Amen. Which we see so much today. One who respects themselves and you enough to cover themselves up and dress modestly. One who most of all is saved and loves the Lord. The Bible says beauty's vain. Favors deceitful beauty vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. A godly woman seldom considers her desires and wishes because she consumes herself with the desires and wishes of others. And this becomes important in marriage, where a wife is called upon to look over the affairs of the home while husband's away. Amen, a young sister who, amen, is willing to sacrifice. There are many young women and parents, listen, as we raise our girls, we've got to work on this. There are so many young girls that are so consumed in themselves. And men too, brethren too, amen, it's about me, my, what I'm doing, what my feelings are like, what I feel, what I think, what I want to do, what I. Amen, God wants us to sacrifice. Amen. I, as you know, grew up in a pastor's home, and we learned how to sacrifice. And I'm glad I did, because God can only use a servant who can sacrifice. Amen. Many of the callings of God would never be done, but you sacrifice in your own time, your own wishes, your own desires. Many, many times we'd sit out for a family dinner, and visitors would show up, and we had to change our plans. We set out planning to go somewhere, and guess what? Those plans got changed. Every trip we took, you know what it revolved around? Church. But I'm glad for that, because nothing's more important to me than the service of God. Amen. Nothing's more important to me than the work of God. And we need to teach our young people, parents, how to make some sacrifices. Amen. How to give of their money to the work of God. How to give of their time to the work of God. How to cut out some of their own activities and give themselves to God. Amen. And so as we seek a companion, amen, I believe we should seek these things. Now tonight, we want to go on. We spoke a little bit about pray much. Amen. The next important quality that we find here in our text is to be an obedient servant. Amen. Oh, how we need to be an obedient servant tonight. Amen. Now let's look at it just a little bit here tonight. Amen. Be an obedient servant. The Bible says, amen, that Eleazar, the servant there of Abraham, amen, he obeyed Abraham. When Abraham asked him to go, he went. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis, the 24th chapter, and the servant put, verse 9, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. And the servant took the 10 camels of the camels, took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. Amen. That servant was obedient. Amen. And young people tonight, amen, we should be obedient. You can see the obedience in Rebecca as she followed the man. Every young man should seek for this trait in the life of the girl he's interested in, and vice versa. You'll notice that the man didn't follow the woman. The woman followed the man. Now, our society has this all backwards. Let me give you a quote. Many women today have simply sold out to the ungodly influences of the feminist movement and refuse to accept any such teaching. Someone said this. They overheard a woman say, I'm never going to get married. I'm not going to wait on any man hand and foot. Do you know what? This woman never did get married. Amen. And you know what? She's miserable. Amen. I don't believe we as men should be tough taskmasters. We should love our wives. Amen. But God still commands the man to be in charge. Amen. Parents, we should make it easier, or we could make it easier on their spouses. Amen. If we would assist them in the home to understand that authority starts with the man. And the church, it's that way. God's the head. Amen. The church gets its message and direction from God. God places a man over a local body, or the mother, the church. Amen. That pastor oversees the body. So it is in the home. Father must take the leading role. Amen. Now, I believe servitude, or being a servant, is taught from little on up. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:27, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth, or learn how to submit when young. Amen. And that goes for boys and girls. Now we want to quickly go on to our sixth point. Amen. To seek a companion from the Lord, we must meditate daily. We find where Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. This is a good pattern for us to follow tonight. Obtaining the right companion takes much time spent in personal devotion, meditation, prayer, and faithful attendance to the house of worship. In Psalms, the first chapter, just quickly turn over to Psalms, the first chapter, we find where we have a blessed man. Amen. Or a righteous man, an unrighteous man contrasted. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. Anyone who has preached knows that you must meditate to get a message from God. Anyone that has sought God's face concerning a decision in life knows that you must think upon it for a while. Often you must talk to God about it for a while before you really feel decided on the issue. So it is with marriage. Oh yes, we must seek God's face. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that that profit may appear to all. Amen. We're quickly going on. Number seven, you must be diligent about serving God. Genesis 24:40 in our scripture reading. The Bible says Abraham's message to his servant concerning God giving Isaac a wife. The Bible says, the Lord before whom I walk, the Amplified says, habitually will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. Amen. I wonder tonight, are you habitual about your service to God? Young people, habits are formed early on. And I want to encourage you tonight to make serving God and getting to church a priority in your life and make it a habit. Amen. The habit is you're at every service you can possibly be at. Amen. If you're diligent about serving God, he will hear and answer your prayer. James said, but let them ask in faith, nothing wavering. Amen. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea. Amen. And two more points we want to hit on before we bring a few thoughts at the end here. But number eight, we want to let us know that we must ask God. Amen. We don't seek a companion out here in the world. We don't seek it out here. Amen. On dating sites, as we said this morning, the Church of God dating site is right here in the house of God. Amen. Dating headquarters is in heaven. We must ask God. Let me ask you this. Do you think God has someone in mind for you tonight? Young people, it starts with that simple belief. Do you believe that? That God actually has someone for you? I'm telling you, he does. But you need to believe that. The Bible says in Genesis 24, chapter, verse 2 and 3, Abraham, Isaac's father, a type of God the Father, was actively seeking a wife for Isaac. Amen. Here he was, 40 years old. And Abraham was saying, go into the country. Get my son, a wife. Amen. Abraham was actively seeking a companion for his son. He cared about his son. He was concerned about his son. His son was 40 years old. But guess what? He was still concerned about his son. Amen. And I believe tonight we should talk to God about this issue. What about Abraham's mother? Well, she had died. Had Sarah been alive at this juncture, I believe she would have been involved in this as well. Amen. The Bible says this in Genesis 24:44, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. Now, why must we ask God about this business of a companionship? Well, many reasons, but the big reason is that people can put on a show. They can make themselves look pretty good and pretend to be something they're not. But the Bible lets us know that God sees the heart. Only God knows if that individual is truly saved. Only God has the ability to see that individual 20 years from now. We can't see that. No man can see that, but God can. So we must ask God. Jeremiah said, it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We need God's help on this most precious and important issue. Amen. Young people tonight, keep asking God. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask. Or the Amplified says, ask, keep asking. Knock, keep knocking. Seek, keep seeking. Amen. And surely God will open that door. He will. Be persistent about it and keep asking God. The same God that created the universe, hung the stars in space, numbered them, calls them each by name, certainly can find a mate for you tonight. Oh, young people, God has someone for you. And the last point we want to make out of this scripture reading is we need to trust God and trust his promises. Amen. Trust his word. God's given us many promises. Psalms. You know this promise well. Psalms 84 and 11, I believe it is. No good thing. Or he that findeth a wife, rather, find a good thing. Amen. Let me just get that. I think I have Proverbs 18:22 mixed up with Proverbs 84:11. Amen. But those two scriptures go together. Let me just get it here for us real quick tonight. Psalms 84. Here's a promise that you can hold on to tonight. 84:11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's a promise of God tonight. So trust him. Trust God's promises. Amen. Surely, not one of his promises goes by, but what God answers that promise. Now I want to just bring some additional thoughts here. Amen. As we look to complete the messages today. But I want to just bring out some points here about when to seek a companion. We preached about seeking a companion. Amen. Now, someone might ask the question, when should a young person seek a companion? Amen. You've given us all these tools and who to look for and how to look for them, but when's a good time to seek a companion? Well, let me just give you some thoughts here to consider. Amen. And then you talk to the pastor, your pastor and the Lord about this. But let me just present this. Amen. Dating and marriage is very serious. The lands of our day, or the land of our, the laws of our land rather, let us know that you're not to get a license till you're 16 years old. Is that still the case here? You're not an adult till you're 18. Now, while we preach against alcohol, the world says 21. Renting a car, many companies won't let you until you're 25, some 21. Well, I'm going to tell us tonight that dating's far more important than any of these things. Amen. And so we should take into consideration the importance of this issue. Amen. This business of dating is not something to trifle with. In other words, play with. You have affections. Amen. You try to get wrapped up by holding hands and in physical contact. Amen. The Bible lets us know you take fire in your bosom, you'll get burned. Our fleshly desires are strong. And without a strong knowledge of God and His Word, I don't care actually how strong you are, when physicality gets involved in dating, look out. Amen. It's a slippery slope. Dating is not a game. It's intended to lead to marriage. So let me ask you this question. When's the right age to marry? If dating leads to marriage, shouldn't you date when you're getting close to married? Now, I wouldn't recommend you get married when you're 13. So I'm going to say you probably shouldn't be dating when you're around 13. Amen. Now think about this with me for a minute here. This is the Bible, and you can laugh at this all you want, but you just remember, God's got your number. Isaac was 40. Jesus was 30 before he began his earthly ministry, and the Bible lets us know he was subject to his parents. We don't have any record of him leaving the home until he commenced his ministry at 30 years of age. Think about it here. Isaac was 40. I don't believe, personally, that dating should really even be serious until you're out of high school. And just think about it with a minute here. I work with high schoolers, and I've worked with middle schoolers, and I know what I'm talking about. There's a big difference between the age of 13, 14, and 17, 18. Your desires, your likes, your interests are very different. And I don't believe a young person has any business locking themselves down at 13 years of age. I believe dating should start in groups and should stay in a company of people anyways. But I don't believe it should start with this little singled off companions off all by themselves or ever be there. Amen. But I believe it should start with friendships. Just be friends. Just be a friend. Get to know each other. Amen. And take your time. Amen. There's no rush. As I said this morning, why rush it? You get married, and that's wonderful, and it's a wonderful institution, but then what? It's for life. You don't just jump out of it then. It's for life. And so I believe marriage should be taken very, very seriously. I'm going to speak for myself that my parents were very strong with who I dated and when I dated. All through school, believe me, I haven't always been so ugly. I had some companions that were interested in me, and I was interested in them, but my parents were very strong. That's not the right one. That's not the one. That's not the one. And it troubles me today. I see young parents with children in middle school, high school. It's like they don't even care. That's sad. I'm glad someone cared, because I could be out there lost with an unsafe companion. But I had parents who cared, who were very interested and very careful about, even when I got into college, you say, well, they're on their own. No, I still lived at home. And my parents, you better believe me, gave me some advice when I was in college. Oh, yes. All the way up until I started dating my companion. And even then, I got advice handed to me from all over the place. Hey, man, you better believe it. But I was 24 years old when I started officially courting. 24. 27 when I got married. I'm not saying you got to be that age. You talk to your pastor. You talk to God. But I'm saying for us tonight, and parents, listen to me. Be careful. Don't just think, oh, my son or daughter would never do that. Oh, yes, they would. I don't care how strong they are. Amen. Influence, peer pressure, desires, fleshly appetites. Yes, they will. If given the right, amen, scenario in the right scene, they'll fall. Be careful. God has put you in a parent position to parent, not be their friend, not be their buddy, not dress like them, not hang out with them. Be a parent. Speak up. Amen. It's that way in my classroom. I have many teachers, young teachers, that'll say, oh, they just want to be their buddies and friends. You know what? That classroom is chaotic. No, sir. Get in your seat. Sit down. Be quiet. We can still have a good time, and believe me, we have a great time. But there must be order in the classroom. There must be order in our homes. Amen. Parents, tonight, be careful. These things, this business of dating is very serious because of where it leads. Amen. And so what's a good age to court? Well, as I said, I don't believe we should really probably consider marriage till out of high school. Now, I know some of you older folks, it seems like in years past, people got married young, and if you're married tonight and you've got a good home, that's awesome. Thank the Lord for that. But I'm just giving you some of my own thoughts, and I'm giving you some Bible to consider. There's many examples in God's Word where God led men to get married, women at an older age than what you might think. Amen. There's much development. If you study the brain, you'll find that the mind and the brain development is still developing up in the 20s. That's why alcohol is held off till 21. Amen. I believe in marriage. And again, the Church of God stands against alcohol, but I just bring that as a world example of what they teach, because it's true. Amen. The development of the brain. Amen. So I believe we need to be careful. Take your time. Young people, that's going to come. Marriage will come. Amen. But don't rush into it. Don't rush into it. Parents, your children will seek a companion like you, Father. Your sons, or your daughters, rather, will seek a boy or a man someday that's like you. Girls will seek one that's like their father, boys like their mother. So that behooves us as parents to take an inward look at our own lives, how we're treating our companion. If we're abusive in our talk and our actions, guess what? Our children most likely will be in an abusive relationship. That's true. Amen. I could give you many stats on that, but I don't have time. Those marriages generally abound most with love and faithfulness that are preceded by a long courtship. If you study Jacob and Rachel, 7 years, and he still didn't get her, got Leah. 7 more years. But the Bible says it seemed like nothing because he loved her so much. But I wonder tonight how many young men and women would wait that long. 14 years. Amen. Now, don't get too discouraged. I'm sure God's not going to make you wait that long. But the point is that there are Bible examples along this line. Amen. Don't rush into it. The right relationship won't distract you away from God. If the courtship is God-ordained, it won't take you away from the things of God. Amen. It troubles me, and I speak up to our young people when I see this business of them courting and wanting to be alone, go on their own car, go their own way. No, sir. Come with the other youth. Get on the bus. Go together. Amen. There's safety in company of the saints. There's safety there. The devil loves to get you off by yourself. And I realize sometimes we make mistakes, and God deals in mercy with us. But I'm just letting you know, amen, to be careful. I'm just warning you. That's all. Just warning you to be careful. Relationships are harder now because conversations become texting, arguments become phone calls, and feelings become status updates. Amen. The old-fashioned way of courting was going around in mom and dad's old 57, now it's before my time, 57 Chevy or whatever it was, bouncing around in the back seat with no seat belts and kids flying all over the place. Amen. But that was a safety way of dating, wasn't it? You had kids all over. They used to say, what, a Bible length apart? Amen. So be careful. Amen. Again, these emotions and feelings get attached. Someone said this, a good marriage is not a contract between two persons, but a sacred covenant between three. Too often, Christ is never invited to the wedding and finds no room in the home. Amen. Now I'm just going to give you a few final warnings, and then I'm going to close the message out. And I appreciate you've listened so well. Amen. We don't preach to hurt anyone. We don't preach to make anyone feel bad necessarily, but we preach to help people. Amen. That's our calling. That's what God's called us to do, is to help and warn people. Amen. When it comes to advice, young people, you'll get a lot of advice. Let me tell you. Why not marry this one? Marry that one. She's the right one. I remember I had many people that thought I should marry this one, thought I should marry that one, and marry this one, and marry that one. Amen. And while, amen, some of those people are highly respected, when it came right down to it, I myself had to seek God on my own. Because I'm the one that lives with this person the rest of my life. Amen. And I'm not saying we should turn down godly counsel. But what I've made a practice to do always, as far back as I can remember, is take in every bit of counsel you can possibly get, store it up here, and then let God apply it to your life. There may be some counsel that's not good for you. It doesn't work for your situation. Maybe what you don't feel God's telling you to do, but put it right up there and let God lead you. Amen. And then a second thing that I would say is this. Look at that individual and see how their own counsel has worked for their own life. Amen. I'm a little hesitant to take counsel from people who have been up and down and in and out. Amen. And don't have a happy home themselves. Now, they may warn you and say, learn from my mistakes, and that's good. But I just as soon take counsel from someone who has found success with their own counsel. Amen. So, young people, look to your pastor. Look to the godly older saints in the congregation. They have much good they'd love to tell you. But so often, people just won't listen. Amen. So, listen tonight, young people. We love you. We appreciate you, every single one of you tonight. And we want nothing but the best for you. Our text says, let her be the one whom you have selected and appointed and indicated for your servant, or chosen for your servant Isaac. Amen. You've probably heard the statement, opposites attract. You ever heard that? So I just want to tell you a little bit of advice here. Don't be too alarmed if you handle yourselves a little differently than the person you're courting. If you find yourself with some different, a little bit of differences. Because it is true, amen, while it's important that we agree along biblical lines, when it comes to our own, you know, innate qualities, there are some differences that often attract us to each other. Let me give you an example. If you tend to be frugal with your money, believe me, God will send someone along who has no problem spending it. Amen. If you tend to procrastinate, God has someone for you who will know how to prioritize. Opposites attract. If you're disorganized, God has someone for you who knows how to organize things. If you're a hoarder, which I tend to be, I'm sure it's important. I just don't know when it's going to be important. And I'm sure I need this, but I just don't know when I'm going to need it. And I don't know whether I should throw it away, so I'm just going to keep it to be safe. You can't be too careful. But my wife wonders, what in the world do you have all these things for? So she helps me. She just comes in there and cleans out, you know, and it hurts me for a couple days. It really cuts at my heart. But you know what? I quickly forget what it was even that I had there. You know, it's. But there are those occasional times when I'll go into my clothes closet there and I'll be, you know, I'm sure I had that color shirt and I really would like it today and it's gone. So I shed a few tears and then I move on. Fortunately, today we've got Kohl's where we can go and buy a new one or somewhere else. Now, if you tend to respond too quickly as a personality trait, God has someone for you who knows how to remain silent. If you tend to be argumentative, which I believe we should be careful with as Christians, God has someone for us who knows how to avoid confrontations. If you tend to be assertive, God has a companion for you who's just as meek as can be. Could you imagine if both spouses were big spenders? The problem that would arise in the home? Do you see? God's got this all planned out. And we need never worry about these things because God has it all planned out. Amen. Saints of God, tonight, young people, we're talking to you. That's the burden behind the message. Amen. And we want to let you know in closing tonight, again, that God has someone appointed for you. God really does care about you.
Amen.
Ask God. Talk to God. Amen. In this decision, and God will help you. Husbands, wives, remember those things that you used to do when you were dating your companion, the little things, the way you used to fix yourself up, the way you used to win them over with your sweet perfume and cologne, the flowers. Don't forget these things in marriage. Amen. When you get married, young people, keep the love moving and flowing. Amen. Don't allow your love to become stagnant. Amen. It's important. I believe Christians, above all people, should have a happy home. So think back to when you first got married or first started courting, how you won them over. It's the same way with serving God. When we serve, or when we were born again, the things that attracted us to Christianity, the way we got our start with God, seasoned saints, don't forget those things. There's a tendency as you go down the road a while to sort of become bored with the things of God. God's presence is fresh every day. Amen. So that excitement when you first got saved, you should still be excited tonight. Amen. Serving God's a wonderful thing. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Coming to church is the best thing in all the world. Amen. Never lose that excitement. Spouses, don't lose that excitement in marriage either. Well, this is the old man I'm married to, and he hangs out over here in his chair, and he's 35 years old. No, come on. This is my husband, whom I respect, and my wife, whom I love. And we're still in love. We've been married. Amen. For 6 years. Or you maybe, Brother Gordon's been married for 70 years probably. Wow, 69. I was just guessing. 69 years. And guess what? They're still in love. Yeah. Amen. So it's possible tonight to still be in love after all these years. Keep doing the small things though. Keep doing the small things. Amen. Husbands, wives, let me just talk to you quickly on my way out here. Amen. Keep doing those little things. Amen. Plan little special occasions. A 10-minute coffee break. Amen. A little flowers. As I said the other night, someone said, I don't give them dead things. Well, you may look at it that way, but believe me, ladies out there, how many of you like to get some fresh flowers once in a while? All right, there was one or two hands. So you can see that. No, there's a lot of hands out there. Amen. They like those fresh flowers. Bring them to them once in a while. That's going to keep your home happy. Yes, happiness is more than this. It's righteousness. It's enjoyment in the Holy Ghost. But these little things are important. Oh, yes, they are. Amen. I'm preaching here about a happy home. Let me ask you this. How many of you were 20 or older when you got married? Raise your hand. Big and loud. Look at all those hands, young people. Probably most of the married folk are... Lot of hands. So, just know this. And I would imagine they would tell you the same thing I'm going to tell you right now. Take your time. and don't rush. Amen. You're not an old maid when you turn 18 or an old bachelor. Amen. Take your time. The final thing here as we jump out is that we must, in the home, husband, wife, and it starts in courting, we must agree upon the truth. Jesus said a house divided against itself will not stand. It will not stand. It will not last. Amen. You must agree upon the things of God. Amen. You must, first of all, look in the right place. Marry in the Lord. Don't force the issue. Pray much. Be an obedient servant. Meditate daily. Be diligent. Ask God. And finally, trust His promises. Amen. Tonight, and I'm through, young people, I want to encourage you to keep on. You may say, well, Brother Reggie, if there's no one for me right now and I don't see anyone, what should I do? Keep serving God. Just be faithful. Just come to church and be active in the work of God. Preach, pray, sing, sing specials, teach. Amen. Look for ways to serve. Waiting does not mean you sit down and twiddle your thumbs. That word waiting is used in the active sense, like a waiter and a waitress at a restaurant. You wouldn't think much of them if they sat in the corner when you walked in, but they're at your service. What can I do? What can I get you? You want another drink? You want something else? So it is when we're waiting to be married, waiting for God to send a companion, we're active. And through that activity, by going to revivals, going to meetings, going to services, God will send the right one at the right time. God's no respecter of persons. What God did for Isaac, amen, He will do for every one of you tonight. Now we've given you a warning and given you a couple messages. Things that I'm sure your pastor has hit, and I'm just simply reviewing and bringing them maybe a little different way. As Paul said, we stir up your minds by way of remembrance. Now the question is, what are you going to do with the warning tonight? Don't run out. If you're in a relationship tonight that you know is not right, don't hold out for your way. Listen, it takes a real man and a real woman to say, you know what, I'm going to cut this off. There was one relationship, well, it was kind of a lighthearted one, it wasn't too serious, but I can remember composing an email saying, I don't believe God would have me to be with you or to be in this friendship and whatever it may be. I was in college and writing this email, and there were some tears shed on the other side and whatever, but I was sure that was not the right one for me, and it wasn't. Amen. So there's a time when you must stand up and acknowledge God's moving and directing. Amen. And cut it off. If God's telling you to cut it off, do. Because it could mean your soul. Amen. If you have a need tonight, I wonder tonight, in closing here, I'm done. But let me just ask you this. How's your home tonight? Is it happy? Are you still in love and working together as husband and wife in the kingdom of God and having a happy home? God wants our homes to be happy. And it's possible. If husband fills their role, wife fills their role, you'll have a happy home. Amen. And so I ask you to come. If your home is not what it ought to be, come. If you're not saved tonight, amen, I want to ask you this. When are you going to get saved? Amen. When are you going to turn your life over to God? You don't know about tomorrow. You don't know in the future what it holds, or even if you'll even have a future beyond tonight. Amen. Come to Jesus tonight. And if you do that, you can experience the blessings of salvation, and you can enjoy the benefits, which one of those is a saved companion. Shall we stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings tonight. And